little bit early, 5:25. Could we have a roll call to establish a quorum?
Mary Hatfield.
Russ Smith.
John Cameron.
Jane Gillette.
And Norman McClung. Okay, full board, we have a quorum. Okay, Mary, could you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Mary. Okay, number four, added agenda items, matters added at this time will be discussed during the other matter portion of this agenda. Number five, public comments. Any public comments at this time? Okay. Number six, approval of March 21st, 2018 meeting minutes. Did everybody have a chance to go over them?
Yep.
Any problems with them?
Not for me.
Can I have a motion to accept them?
I give you a motion to accept.
Second.
Okay. We're hereby approving the minutes. We'll accept them as they were. Number seven is the draft sign code prohibited signage. Number seven.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll just start real quick. So what you have before you is a list of potential prohibited signs for our new sign code. It looks kind of long because it almost goes to Z from A, but some of these I'm going to combine and put together, and then whatever ones you want to strike or you have comments or questions about, we'll go over each one of those also. But this isn't anything revolutionary. It's pretty much standard for most cities. They just say it a few different ways. So there's a couple on there worth noteworthy that we want to discuss. But again, just whatever your comments or concerns are about any of them, we'll go over those.
Okay.
You can start with A.
Right.
That's probably the most newest one for Lapine, in a way, off-premise signage. And so what that would do is create any sign that is not on the property or set on the property, it's advertising, would become non-conforming. So right away that takes billboards out as non-conforming. Which I know was a concern of yours. Any A-frames that are not on the property where things are being sold would go away. It does create a little issue with the chamber sign that's going to be moved, because that's kind of off-premise. But we can get around it through some governmental signage language. So no worries there. And I guess I'll turn it back over to you if any of you have any questions.
I have a question. Does that mean that we can get rid of the billboards out here? Or is
eventually.
That
the realistic answer is no, yeah. They're not going to go away because they tend to maintain them. Yeah, they become non-conforming, which means if lightning struck them, yes, they could go away. If they weren't renting them for a certain amount of time and they got dilapidated and they tore down and they were going to have to fix them up, potentially, but billboard people, owners, usually are pretty good about maintaining them. So the reality is it would take a long time for them to go away, but this starts the process where, yes, they could eventually go away. We wouldn't get any more.
The other question is...
And they can't move them.
They can't move them. That's the major...
Where they are is where they'll sit. Yeah.
Move them around town.
Right, right. Yeah.
Because let's face it, I hate to say it, but I agree with Lady Bird on this one. They are ugly.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and our city's getting, I'm not going to say it's getting bigger, it's getting quaint. We're going to slow the speed limit down. We're going to do some sidewalk improvements. You know, I don't think we want a billboard right here. And the way our code reads, they can move them around within town, the seven that are existing. So we're just going to, if you all say, and this council says, we're just going to kind of let them ride.
There's no... not sure how to word this, recourse from those people that are leasing them to come back and say no,
they
can't do that because we already have this.
They can come to the public hearing, and sometimes, depends on how active your sign you know, corporations are, or if they're paying attention. Signage is one of those things where the lobbyists are pretty much, you probably will get some public testimony on that, but they cannot, they can't sue us over this. This is pure, this is legal, what, to deny you off-premise signage.
They have no recourse.
They have no recourse, yeah.
I was familiar with a little town that had proper billboards in California, and they made a deal with the sign people to move them outside of town, the proper town area. Is this something we could entertain?
Except Deschutes doesn't allow them either, I don't think.
Okay.
The county, so, yeah, unfortunately, or that would be nice, maybe Klamath, well, I can check there, but yeah, no.
I have a feeling that's why we have them in town.
Yeah.
It's because they did it as soon as we became a city.
Within city limits.
And they snapped it right up and put them in.
Yeah, so, you know, unfortunately, we're stuck with what we have. I'm, you know, I'd like to say that billboards will become unpopular and they just will go away, but I don't think it's gonna happen.
It's an old technology, I mean.
It is, but they can't increase them, they can't make them electric, they can't do anything different than what they are now, so. And then the next one, B, is signs within the public right-of-way. And I put in parentheses, except as allowed under this ordinance. And then a lot of this would be traffic control signs, that would be allowed under the ordinance, obviously, stop signs, that kind of thing. And the reason for that is, this is not new, this is already, I think, in our ordinance now. So, and this is pretty common, you just don't want signs in your right-of-way. So that would be where the sidewalk swells, A-frames, that kind of thing, you need to be moved out. So. Any questions or comments?
Nope.
I do have one caveat to that, and that is if you're following our downtown, new downtown design standards, which will be coming to you at your next meeting, you're gonna get to see it and have a meeting with the advisory commission, I'll talk about that later, but if our buildings are built straight up to the property line, and we do allow A-frames as temporary signs, when we get to that portion of the code I bring you, there is provisions where we can have the A-frames where they have to be touching the building, but they would be in the right-of-way. And so that would be an exception to this, which is allowed under other provisions, so. Doesn't mean you have to allow them or you don't, then we're not there yet, but just saying that's one of the caveats that we can come back and then talk about that again, so, with those issues. And let's see, a sign that interferes in any way with traffic control, device unobstructed views, that's just language that, you know, you can't block a stop sign.
Probably safe.
Yeah. D, a sign that contains, includes, or is illuminated by flashing, or revolving, or rotating, or moving, light, or moves, or has any animated or moving parts which move or rotate, except as otherwise allowed in this code. I'm suggesting, this is, you know, up to you again, to strike except as otherwise allowed in this code, because I don't know where we would allow it, unless you can think of a reason. But it's up to you again.
I think we could strike that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's okay.
I can't, yeah, I just, for our town, I don't think we need the Las Vegas, you know, thing going on, so. Especially with our new design standards and what we're moving towards. I've tried to think, I really did, because I'm trying to be equally fair to any business that comes in or sign, and I can't think of one where we would actually want or need that kind of signage in Lapine, so.
Do you mean like the signs that are at the senior center, that they do flashing lights out there saying about bingo and?
The electronic sign?
Yeah.
We're gonna have that discussion, but this would be kind of, I'm thinking more of a flash and, yeah,
right.
Possibly.
It's like Mid-Oregon also.
Yeah, Mid-Oregon.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, those are electronic signs.
Yeah.
Electronic signs are actually listed down below somewhere, actually on E, we're gonna get to it, but. Yeah, we'll have a little discussion about that too.
Okay.
So I think I'm hearing you're okay with the
acceptance
of the
ones?
Okay. And if it comes up where I find something or we talk about something or I find something else where it may need, I'll bring it back to you and let you know. And electronic video signs. this is the hot topic, whether you allow them in town or not. More towns are saying no inside towns. They're outside or along stretches or on highways, big towns, they'll allow them. This is again up to you, it's your city, mine too, but I don't have a say as much as you do. So, do you want to allow them? If you say no, that means no more can come into town, you don't allow electronic signs. The ones that are there, again, are existing, grandfathered, will always be there. The town I came from said no, they did not have them, but they did have three. One was at the high school that was donated by alum. And so what they did was had a sunset clause where they had to go away after a certain amount of years, and they just kept extending it out, and to this day, they still extend it out like 20 to 30 years as they go. So I'm not suggesting a sunset clause, I'm suggesting the ones that are there stay. I can't imagine more breweries or banks coming into town where you'd want that much more on Huntington electronic signs. Again, it's up to you. But it does change the nature of the walkability and going shopping and downtown.
The feel.
They do. They're more for bigger roads, bigger sites. And I'm thinking with where we're going with our design standards, which you will see, so you'll understand what I'm saying. Next week's a little cart before the horse, but you'll understand it's the look is not going to be there for that. We really don't need those big flashy signs if we're going to be walking down shopping.
Does anybody have any exceptions to that? I say no.
Those that are there, I mean, you've got the fire station.
Right, you have several in town.
Union.
Yep.
And bank.
Credit union,
right.
And senior center right
yeah.
now.
Right.
Yep. I think
those
are only three I can think
right.
of.
And actually,
they're
more community oriented anyway, so I really
yeah.
don't, you know.
It's, right, it's not like casino
yeah.
or something.
Yeah.
But
I don't
you
think
can imagine
more.
If a grocery store out here, Ray's or, you know, all of a sudden wanted to put up one of those electronic signs, and, you know, you got this
right.
at night flashing.
No. Okay, that's a no.
Okay. Well, you're just moving right along with me. Roof signs are signs that exceed the top of the ridge line. I put or peak, however we want to word that, but again, up for discussion.
What's a ridge line?
Well,
the highest point of
the highest
building.
Point
the peak
of, building.
Of the roof.
Of the building?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So if we have a three-story building, go up three stories?
The sign could be, yeah, it could be up top. Along the top portion, it just can't go up
above
the roof, stick up above the roof. Again, these are fairly common, so it's up to you though.
Are there any
I
now?
Just don't want a three-story building out there with a huge sign on it. If we are thinking about having a pedestrian friendly.
Well, think about two-story building downtown. We haven't got to downtown yet. We haven't got to sizes of signs yet. We're just talking about types and where they would potentially be as far as the type of sign. So roof sign, the type of sign. Do we want roof signs on top of roofs? Like, you know, height
yeah.
markers.
No, I say no also.
Well, it says roof signs or signs. I mean.
That exceed the top.
Right, so like that cafe sign on
97
out
there.
The
sugar pine?
Sugar pine.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually above the ridge line.
No, okay, so they're talking about on building here. I'm sorry. This
okay.
isn't just
okay.
all signs
so
just
it's not,
yeah, this
okay.
is on the building.
Okay.
It can't exceed over the roof line on the building, so you won't have a building with a sign up on top of it.
Okay.
Sorry. That's what it's talking about. All good?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, okay. G, a sign with lighting that is not effectively shielded to prevent beams or rays of light from being directed any portion of the right-of-way, public vehicle or access way, or a sign that does not comply with lighting requirements. That's just purely health and safety. Yeah. H, signs placed on, affixed to, or painted on any motor vehicle, trailer, or other mobile structure not registered, licensed, and insured for use on public highways. This is just basically to keep somebody from putting a big old banner on a truck and sticking it in a parking lot. And,
okay.
You know.
Which they have done.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, it could be licensed, and then we're still in trouble. You know, we still can't do anything about it.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, but that one, you know, like for the farmers, Mark, when they
yeah.
come in, they put a sign up on their vehicle.
Right.
Well, I
but
noticed
it's a licensed
vehicle
so.
Right now.
Right.
It's parked over there, but
yeah.
he has a nice emblem, the veggie man.
Yeah.
And it's licensed.
And it's licensed.
Yeah.
So we wouldn't
so.
Do anything.
Yeah.
We did, I can throw in language that says something to the effect of if the sign is attached so that it stays when the vehicle is going down the street or some, there's some language like that too, you can nuance it, so if they can't park their vehicle even though it's licensed, to put a sign on top or do something real quick and throw a banner up on it. If it's moving down the road at 65 and if that sign's gonna fall off, then it wouldn't be legal.
Right.
I can throw that in if you like, or we can leave it and let it go and see how this goes and, you know, give it 10 years and see how this plays out.
Yeah, okay,
I don't want to be overly restrictive at this point.
We don't have the
problem now. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Depends on how many churches we have coming, I guess.
A sign located upon a tree or painted or drawn upon a natural feature. This one, I'm torn. I don't know in my mind, because I'm always thinking of the other way, so I'm wondering if you have a stone sign or you want to do a sign that's on your stone and it's etched. It doesn't say etched, it says painted or drawn. I don't know, I'm open for discussion or what you think. If somebody's, you know, put in a stone, like where our monument sign has a stone that's gonna say, you know, established in such and such, is that what they're talking about? I didn't know. I kind of threw this in there and left it because I can see where it would be like a graffiti thing where people are painting.
I was gonna say graffiti.
But then does that count? If you've got a stone, you know, if you put a wood, you know, wood beam out there and you etch in it or you carve it, does that count?
I wouldn't think so.
I wouldn't either, but I'm not sure how big.
It's
just painted or drawn.
It's naturally occurring.
Well, a good example is the Cascade Bible Church down there. They have a big stone out front that they carved.
But they put it there.
Yeah,
they put it there.
Good interpretation. I like it. I like it.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I think natural occurring is
right.
That's the
thing. Okay. I like it. A sign that obstructs free and ingress, egress from any door, window, fire escape, alley, drive, or fire lane attached to a fire escape. That's just safety. Any sign with a display area larger than 12 square feet or 6 square feet per sign face on an undeveloped lot, parcel, or property. This is basically the size of a regular A-frame. And I think they're just saying that it's basically giving a real estate sign authority to be there on an undeveloped piece of property.
Okay.
I'm going to play with that one a little bit, so you might see a different, you might see that go away and then reoccur somewhere else in the code as an allowance for something. Again, this is probably an after-read thing that they put in there in one of the codes I looked at.
I'm trying to think of what size sign that would be.
6 square feet is an A-frame.
2 by 3.
It's 2 by 3. So you would have...
Double-sided.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't be any bigger than that picture sign.
Actually a little smaller,
yeah.
I mean, the huge real estate signs that some people put up.
Because the only way you're going to see it when you're passing by
right.
is if it's large enough to read
and there's a way
45 miles, 35 miles an hour.
Yeah, there's a way to play with the real estate signs, and I'm not sure this is it, so this might change.
So
those are temporary, right?
Yeah.
Right, and so we have to be careful with temporary because of Reed and Gilbert. They have to apply to all temporary signs, which is A-frame banners, real estate, political. So that's a whole different section we'll get into, but we're not going to make it so where people can't put real estate signs out. So.
Okay.
Just know that K might go away or be changed or something might happen there.
Okay.
If you are okay with that.
Okay.
L and N, I might combine because they are kind of almost the same when I was looking over and going through it several times. So attention signs, I might change that flags to signs. Let's say attention flags, including swoops, blade, teardrop flags, pennant, streamers, or wind, air-blown, activated signs. Because those little pennant things change their names all the time. They just keep changing what they are, and if you don't have it in here, they say, well, it's not that, it's a this. So everybody in their signpost just keeps adding to whatever the new word for them are. And the problem with them is they get ratty really fast, really fast. They blow down in the wind. We have rain, snow. They get torn up. If every business can have as many as they want, you can get a whole highway lined up with them, and they're not attractive at all.
Right.
And they really don't do the job they were supposed to be doing.
So wind activated, is that, I mean, like one of the, I mean, there's a streaming down here now, there's a new
Yep, I saw that. That would be wind blown, yeah, air blown,
Yeah, that's kind of.
Yeah, I know.
It seemed like used car.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Again, don't think that's where we're headed, so we'll.
Yeah, right, I agree.
Yeah. And then this, the M says A-frame signs with a display area. I crossed out larger than 12 square feet, so we're just gonna go with 6 square feet per sign or taller than 3. Basically, we don't want A-frames taller than the regular standard 2x3. And again, that's up to you, up to discussion, if somebody has some feelings differently. Most A-frames are 2x3. And that's, if we allow those, then we'll allow them, but we don't want anything over that, if you guys agree.
I agree.
Put a big A-frame out there, I mean, somebody can put a massive, well, Shop Smart did the last week for their meat thing, whatever that was, that meat, whatever, but, yeah.
Oh, the meat bonanza.
Yes, thank you, that.
So, and how's that, I mean, tie into off-premises signage?
It's still on their lot, so they can still have it out here close to the sidewalk. They just can't go any taller than the 2x3. And again, we'll get into when it's downtown and if we're gonna build buildings up their property line, if we're gonna allow some exceptions there. This is just like a normal prohibited signs, we're getting that kind of washed out right now.
Yeah.
Skip in, because we're gonna, I'm gonna include it up there.
Right.
O, signs that take, and this is new, so this you might want to think about or discuss, signs that take up more than 25% of the window area in a ground floor building. That number's negotiable. That's just kind of the norm I see. Usually in a downtown or in a town, a city, you don't want your ground floor windows covered. You don't want stuff plastered all over it. You know, you want your visibility, you want the window shopping, especially when we're creating our downtown with our new design centers, we're gonna want those. And there is a standard in there that talks about clearer windows, so I threw this in to complement that, but that number is certainly up for debate.
The 25%, is that the norm?
It's what I see a lot of, yeah. Yeah, that's kind of, it can be anything though. You don't have to have it in here at all. You can say we don't care about it, you can.
I think when they clutter the windows up with all the posters and paintings and whatever, you know.
I had just read this and I just drove down here, and if you look at Harvest Depot.
Yeah.
They're the ones that, I mean, they're plastered all over the place. You can't see in, you can't see out.
Right.
Yeah, and I.
And it's too much.
It doesn't draw people in if they can't see into a business.
Yeah, really. Not inviting.
A lot of people don't, yeah. There is also, for discussion, I'll throw this out at you. This can be just taken out of the prohibited signs and put into the overlay district only, so it's only in the downtown core. Or you can put it all around town. It's up to you.
No, I think it should be around. Yeah, I don't think there's any problem.
Should be any difference.
Okay, so the other caveat is the marijuana retails. I think our code says they have to.
They have to be.
Screened.
Yeah,
right?
But they don't have to be painted and they don't have to be an advertisement out there. We don't want them as an advertisement.
Yeah, but I think they have to, their windows have to be covered, I thought.
Okay.
Well, covered or colored.
So they can't see him.
But not signage.
Gotcha.
It's not signage.
Right. Shielded.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a different ordinance anyway, they might be. P is just reiterating billboards. That's gonna be taken care of in the off-premise signage, so I'll think about that if I wanna keep that in as clutter or if we wanna just cover it under there or we actually wanna explicitly be upfront and tell people where we're headed with the code. I think that might be wise instead of trying to.
I think that's
like
wise, yeah, why not do it.
Yeah, okay. I agree. And then signs on fences or fencing.
Trying to think of examples.
Yeah.
Usually they're banners. We're going to talk about banners in a minute.
Yeah.
So
the thing I can think of is they oftentimes have a little insignia saying this was, you know, Mike's fencing or this was Ace fencing or, you know, there's an insignia on there. Is that included in as a sign?
You know.
You mean
we're on the record,
the manufacturer.
We're on the we're on the record here. So here's my thing. This on a fence
is
I'm not enforcing that.
Right.
Yeah.
Joe's Barbecue, such and such, come on in, or this Sunday we have Tuesday Night Taco or whatever, and they've got a banner and it's hanging off the fence, that's probably what I'm talking about.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
I said no.
No.
Okay.
No problem.
You would, as you said, you would enforce that other.
No.
No.
Okay.
And again, with Reed and Gilbert, not everything's gonna be a perfect fit, so some things we're gonna just kinda go with the best we can and.
We're talking permanent or temporary?
Well, and that's the other thing, banners are temporary, so, yes. Now, R comes with banners unless otherwise allowed by this chapter, so there you go. And then I put in a parentheses, banners could be required to be attached all four sites to the building, kept in good repair and would need limitations on size. Banner material and that, you know, unless they use it as a permanent sign, and, you know, put a frame around it or have it attached at all four sides and they keep it in good repair, banners just don't last either. Especially in weather like this. You know, sunny California, maybe they'll last all year, they'll get a little faded, but here it just doesn't, you know, you're always gonna be out there telling them to pick it up and clean it up. So that's another one that's up for discussion up for you. They're a cheap way to advertise, they're a good way to advertise for businesses, so I don't want to do this casually and say.
Many businesses here operate on a shoestring budget anyway.
Right.
And that's all they can afford for starting business.
Right.
And it's like if it were, you know, no longer than 6 months, you
right.
would hope that within 6 months they might be able to
right.
afford a nice sign.
So, yeah, and so what I'm getting at here is the language we could, you know, as otherwise we could allow them as a temporary sign with some standards of,
why
you know,
don't we do it something like 90 days?
Well, that's, we can talk about that when we talk about temporary signs.
Right.
Y'all can have that good discussion. Yeah. Yeah. So what I'm hearing is banners are okay to be prohibited unless they're temporary.
Yes.
Or in
yeah.
another
yes.
section of the chapter. Okay. Abandoned signs.
Are prohibited?
Yes, they are.
What's considered the abandoned sign?
Well, and that's, I wrote a note putting insert qualifying language, so we'll have some language in there that what's considered an abandoned sign probably it hasn't been maintained, or the business goes out of business,
that's
and they leave their sign.
Yeah, they leave
those
their
are going to be the ones that we probably enforce the most,
yeah.
will be, hey, 2 years down the road, and again, I'll just be really upfront and realistic. This one probably won't be as enforced as other ones, because businesses come and go, and you know, and new business will go on before you even can get the word out to the past owners who are gone, long gone, and who's going to take care of the sign? Who's going to actually pay to take it down? The realtor's not, who's selling the building.
Mm-hmm. How about
so,
signs that are just stuck out there for elections and stuff that just are left? Are those?
Well, they won't be in the right of way. They'll be in somebody's property, and we can always go knock on their door and say,
okay. There's limitations on that anyway, in election signs.
Though that's the part of Reed and Gilbert, though, that we're going to have to.
Because sometimes you see them long,
because you can't,
long.
Yeah, you can't discriminate timing and sizes of signs based on what kind of sign they are for temporary signs. So it's all temporary signs, real estate, political. So we're going to make one piece of the code that's going to match for all of them. So A-frames, political banners, all that, we can't tell what they are, it's just what type of sign and where they go and how long. And abandoned signs I feel we need in there just for the billboard aspect. Because if we do get one that's abandoned, according to our language, we can, that one we can go.
Yeah, take her down.
So yeah. And signs that emit any sound, vibration, and odor. I know that sounds funny, like Disneyland, but the truth is it is coming down and almost every sign code now is putting that in. So I'm throwing it in.
Yeah, okay. That's fun.
It might
so
be fun to have one of those if they are coming.
If your sign stinks, don't. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a matter of opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then this one, you know, I might combine U and V, but flags larger than 1 square foot for each lineal foot in height of the flagpole or structure to which the flags are affixed, and then flags exceeding 60 square feet. And I think mostly this came out, I'm going to say it on the record, it's horrible, I'm sorry, but I think this came out in Southland, people were doing the big Confederate flags, like the 60-foot Confederate flags. I shouldn't have said that out loud, but... it just keeps, you know, unsavory, and I mean this, you know, it could be a KKK flag or whatever. I mean, it just keeps flags you don't want big in a house or a business to be shown in your town. So that's all it's doing. And then keeps it
proportional
down.
To the.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that would apply to a U.S. flag as well.
Well, U.S. is going to be exempt because it's the country and it has its own little set of standards.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's going to be under government.
But I've seen some towns where the U.S. flag is
huge.
The size of this room.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Yeah.
And people complain about the noise and so forth. But.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't think about that. That's interesting. It could be a nuisance complaint.
Yeah.
Hmm. I'll think about that. I'll think about that sign. We could limit U.S. sign to that. I don't, U.S. flags to that, I don't have a problem.
Well, it's any flag, really.
I wonder how big they are.
They are, some of those are huge. There's one.
Well, Spokane has one that's
right
huge.
After you cross the border, go into California, that little town there, they have a flag up there that is bigger than anything else in the whole town.
But that's probably their thing too. Everybody knows, yeah.
Obviously,
yeah.
It's their thing.
We don't need that to be our
thing. It is huge.
But there was a homeowners association that had a guy put a flag up and take it down because of noise reasons.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
What, yeah, because it flapping
right.
All night long, it makes some sound.
That does make sense. That's interesting. I hadn't even thought of that. That's interesting. So yeah, I'm seeing you're okay with U and V, and I might just put those together. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then signs that may be confused with public traffic signs or highway, I'm probably going to put that, stick it in with up above the traffic control ones. I'm not sure we need that again. And a sign not otherwise in compliance with any provision of this code, Oregon law, or the terms of conditions, valid permit issued under this chapter. That's just language to make sure it gets their permits. Standard language. So that is our list of prohibited signs. Do you have any you want to add, subtract, talk about, more?
How do we address content of a particular sign?
We are not allowed to.
So what, the one I brought up at the last meeting was like the marijuana leaf sign out there.
Cannot address content. That's the Supreme Court ruling. That's why we're working on this.
Okay.
We can address time, place, manner. We can address size. We can address how they look, where they go. You know, height, all these things. We can prohibit signs, but you can't look at what the sign says and decide what it should be.
Okay.
Yeah. That's why
that
we can't discriminate.
Right, because we're going to restrict them on odor, but we can't.
It's probably the First Amendment.
Odor is a nuisance
yes.
complaint, yeah. We can get them on the nuisance complaint, but yeah. Yeah.
Does anybody else have any other examples they might want to add? Okay. Anything else?
All right. Look at you. You guys finished prohibited signs. Next time we'll go with something different. I'll think about what we're going to talk about next.
Okay. All right. That concludes number 7, 8. Other matters, only those matters properly added to this agenda under line item number 4. We had none. Line 4. 9, public comments. Any public comments?
I'd like to address the committee, but I don't know when to ask.
Okay, this is the time.
This is the time.
Okay.
Come up and state your name and your business or address.
First time, so correct me if I say anything incorrect.
Okay,
no worries. No worries.
My name is Denny Morgan. I own High Caliber Investment Properties, and I own a piece of property in your town. Melissa pointed out to me the other day that I bought a piece of property that's becoming your downtown. That's great. I like the fact that it's growing. And I'm actually working on a few pieces of property here in town. I want to pass this around and quickly show you my property. I only have one.
Okay.
Yeah. She's seen it.
So. Know which one you're talking about.
Yeah.
Where is the property located?
Morrison's
right here on Morrison.
Okay.
Okay. And
currently?
Sorry?
Is it bare or it has a building on it?
It has a one-bedroom log cabin on it.
Okay, I know which one property
it's a cute place.
It's very cute.
We like it a lot.
Yeah.
we'd like to develop it one way or another. And that's my purpose for being here tonight. So we've had it for a year, and when we first bought it, you know, we checked up the counter and they're saying, you can do anything you want with it. And now I'm coming in, we've came up with a thought, and that's all I'm presenting to you tonight is our thoughts. And I'm really glad that the timing's worked out great, because I'm finding out this part of town and I'd really like to help in that. So basically the lot is 8 city lots, 25 by 100, but it's 2 tax lots, okay? I'm just gonna explain this. I don't want to use your chalkboard, but I'm gonna keep this short. So the little cabin is sitting on lot 3 and 4, and there's a storage shed on 7 and 8. 7 and 8 is a tax lot, 1 through 6 is a tax lot. So this log cabin's sitting right in the middle of this whole space. We'd like to move it to 7 and 8, opening up 1 through 6. And for future development, and it, you know, I was thinking an apartment, because there's no apartments in this city.
Not many.
But Melissa was pointing out, you know, being downtown and all, I'd entertain the idea, it's all about the space available to us, of going up and doing like one of these 2 commercial spaces downstairs and some apartments upstairs.
Yeah.
I think of kids that work at McDonald's.
Yeah.
You know, they need a place to live, an apartment, and walk to work. That's what got my head thinking apartments. But now knowing that, you know, anyway, this is, you know, pertaining to what happens. So I could let the property just sit as is. It's in the black, and we're okay with that. But I like to, you know, do the most I can with the property. If I can move it to the other tax lot, open up 1 through 6, we're okay with it. I mean, and that would open it up. I could sell the lot to a contractor and have them develop it. I'd probably end up doing it. Seems like I gotta end up doing everything. But it's nice to know that the town's growing down that area, and in knowing that, you know, that changed my idea right there, lifting it up, making more commercial spaces in that neighborhood or area
yeah.
of your town. So my main reason, I think, for coming in is, like I said, we can let the lot sit as is and let your city planning, and I understand next week is when you're going to show this new downtown area plan, if I heard right.
Next meeting, next month.
Next month,
yeah.
Okay,
next
I'll be here. I'd love to see that too.
Yeah.
So, cost. Moving this little house, it's 426 square feet, guys. It's not even 500 square feet. It's got a tenant in it. Jim, he's a great guy, Jimmy. Some people know him. He's a local musician. But he's willing to live with his daughter while I move the property, move the house. And Angie, is it, we talked with?
Uh-huh.
She pointed out, I spoke
She's
with
the
Jake.
She's County Plan.
Okay.
Planning
okay. So, I mean, like I said, it's coming down to cost. So, the water line we figured out is across the street. I spoke with Jake, I don't know his last name. But
Jake Overst, he's the public works director.
He's a great guy, good kid. So he said that, yeah, we'd have to tap into the water line. But, and then Angie brought up the idea of, since I own both lots, I could move, you know, basically the water meter is on the line between 6 and 7, right there on the tax lot line. And I could move that property line so that same meter can feed the same house, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're talking about moving this house 50 feet, okay? And opening up that to whatever we want to do with it for this new downtown. I know I have to, per the septic system in Jake, for Lapine, get a new tank put in. So the cost just keeps climbing, and unless one of you know somebody that was willing to lift and move a house free, because I had to wait 4 months to get hold of somebody just to give me a bid on that. It's not hard, not easy to do. That pretty much taps us out. So I'm kind of at a point where I have to let the house sit there while you develop a city down there and put these sidewalks in. If I move this house now and have to pay for that sidewalk, it breaks the deal of what I'd like to do. Now, when I either sell straight up or develop that 1 through 6, I'd be glad to pave the whole thing and put new water lines. I got it. I get that. Anybody that builds on that lot will have to. But this little project of moving this house over and creating 1 through 6 available, the sidewalk cost pretty much shoots me down. I just can't. You're talking a total cost with the moving and the septic and the permits and the plans and this $50,000. The house isn't worth that. It's just, you know, that's why I came tonight. It's just to tell you what I'm running up against. I would, SDC's $8,000, and I get that, and that's over 6 months, it's climbing. Okay, and again, if I develop that lot, that's all part of that job, that's okay. But I've gotta have that lot, and I don't think anybody cares where this whole house sits, here or here. And it opens things up for the city development that you're doing. So I had to come in and say, does anybody see, like I say, Angie helped me with the idea of moving the lot, you know, 2 feet, the property line. And that way I can use the existing water meter. That saved me a lot of money right there. But I can't see any other things other than the sidewalk, which is roughly $10,000 for 50 feet, you know, to try and make this affordable to finish my project.
So the code says that you have to, in order to
put in a sidewalk. And I'm not building
an existing structure, then you have to.
I'm not building a house.
Right.
Right? Right. I'm just moving one on my property.
Is the house worth moving?
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
It's a cute little log cabin. I think it is.
Why are you moving it? Just to keep it as a rental? The house and demolished it.
I don't want to do that to the tenant.
Wouldn't that
I promised the tenant I'd give him a place to rent. Like I said, there's no reason to do that. I have it occupied. The tenant's been there for a long time. I don't, it's a cute little place. I think it's an amenity to the town. Mm-hmm. It's a log cabin.
It's not one of those historics, is it?
No.
I think it was moved there. Somebody across the street, a neighbor, when I was there measuring property lines, came over and told me that they moved it there from somewhere.
So your question is, if you do move that, you would want a variance saying that you would not have to put the sidewalks in at this time.
I suppose so. Yeah,
that's
the proper wordage, I guess. Yeah, and any other suggestions to save some money to do the whole project would be, love. But yeah.
Okay.
I could say, because we would plan on developing the space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And at that point, they're pouring concrete. I don't have a problem putting it all the way across, all the way down the street. But you folks are already planning to do this, right?
Well.
No, yes, I don't know.
We're getting a new code in place that will allow this development to happen. The development always occurs by the developer. I mean, on the sidewalks, the public improvements are always occurred by the developer. So, yeah, we'll put into place these new code about where your building can be and setbacks and design guidelines, but those sidewalks are still going to come by the developer. That's normal. As far as your lot line adjustment, which is a procedure through the city that's administrative. I'm not sure that kicks in sidewalks. Moving the house on the property, it would be like building a house on that property in which we would make you do sidewalks like every other developer in town that builds a house. So can you get a variance from that? I don't know. That's a whole public works kind of question and their code and looking into it and seeing if there's exemptions or that kind of thing. We'd have to dive in deeper. I don't know that this body can actually answer that question for you.
No, you don't.
But it's good to bring to their attention because they're decision makers in that kind of situation anyway when codes come and water and treatment and that kind of stuff. We can certainly have that conversation with Jake and
fair enough. Yeah, like I say, I just want to bring it to your attention.
Yeah,
talk to somebody about this.
It.
This is what I'm trying to accomplish.
No. I think it's good for the city if I can make that
space. Right, it's a tough, it's kind of a tough situation because, you know.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I don't want to do anything.
All the other builders. We have to be careful about that.
It's just something I'm running into. I hate to, you know, just let the property sit as is. I think there's development to be had there.
Yeah.
For the city.
Well, I think long-term, you know, will the cabin really fit into our city scale?
Fair enough.
You know, probably not. It's probably time that they go.
I get that. You know, I've thought that way.
It's your property at this point, so you can't dictate that.
It's not that big a building, right?
Yeah.
And it's cute.
Yeah.
It's got a metal roof, so it's solid. And it's a, it, to me, it was worth the investment to open up the lot, to move it, let Jim stay living where he's been living, and just develop that.
Yeah.
Do the sidewalk thing. I don't have a problem with all that. But just trying to move an existing structure from point A to point B on my lot, I did not count on all these.
As you said, it may not fit into the future plan.
Fair enough.
Take a look now and say, hey, uh-oh.
Well, it's a lot easier to not fit in lot 7 and 8 and deal with that than it is 1 through 8 with this little 500.
It would be like moving a manufactured home on a property. Somebody else that moved it in has to do the same thing as I was.
Somebody suggested that to me.
I'm not sure how we get around that, but I mean, we'll look our hardest and see. But again,
somebody suggested that.
Sometimes the little things get caught in the big things, and you know, it's a 450 square foot home that, you know.
How old is the thing?
I couldn't tell you. Off the top of my head,
thirties?
Thirties.
Thirties.
Yeah.
It's pretty darn old.
I'm thinking
grandfather coat.
Well, I'm thinking could you move it back? Because it could exist for the rest of its life behind. You could build commercial up in front. And it could be behind the commercial. I mean, so if you moved it to the back of the lot.
Access is what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right? I mean, it backs up to, what do you guys call that? Big field behind me.
But there's still driveway access.
Back there.
I mean,
you could start something back up to the
Well, no, you wouldn't even have to divide the lot. The house could stay and the commercial could still go on that same lot. It's just the house would be behind the commercial.
Right.
Or back, you know, like that.
Is there a driveway behind the lot or behind the house?
Yeah, it's a marsh field.
Yeah.
Well, I know it's right on the edge of it. Right. I didn't know how much is back there.
You know, I don't know if it's a marsh or not. I don't know. It's a big empty field.
Yeah.
Is it wetland?
I don't know.
I thought it was.
It gets pretty close to that wetland where some of that commercial property is really funny.
Big empty lot.
Yeah.
So.
It's about halfway down.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a
work with
the. It's a great piece of property. We really like it. And, you know, knowing that the city's planning to move that way, I'd like to help you and, you know, make it something to.
I'm sort of drawn between it because we definitely need sidewalks on Moore's.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. I agree.
I mean,
you know, it's one step at a time kind of thing, right?
That's part of our future downtown.
Yeah, well, that's what she was saying.
You know, Perry House right now, the people can't even have to go on the street with their scooters because we have no sidewalks there.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, waving a sidewalk.
Like I say, I'm not against the sidewalk issue. I didn't see it in moving a structure on the lot, moving an existing structure. If I was building something, I'm all about it, you know, and I'm not ready to build yet, kind of thing.
Well, I'd sure go through the variance process probably.
Yeah.
Give it a shot, right?
I mean, until their future development is done.
Yeah.
That's your prerogative. You proceed on the variance.
Public improvements are kind of weird about variances, but we'll look into it. And like I said, I'll help you anyway. We'll look around it, but
it's short term.
Yeah.
Terrific.
Yeah. Might be a 3-year thing or something, but
we'll
have to dig. I got to dig into Public Works and see what public improvements can be waived and what can't.
And after all that groundwork's done, then
I'll just
look at it.
I'm happy to see the town's growing. Fences in it too. It's nice to see the pines growing. I mean, this is neat, you guys. It's great to listen to you folks tonight. Thanks for your input.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, no problem. Thank you.
All
All right. Staff comments, number 10.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. So as I alluded to before, your next meeting will be when you see the draft downtown code, and you'll be with the advisory board for that, the TGM grant. You'll be with them and you, and we'll go through it. They've already made a couple of suggestions and changes to it, so you'll see a second draft is what you're actually looking at. Very exciting, very cool stuff. I'm excited. Russ is on the committee, so he's already seen it.
Thanks, guys.
He's probably told you all about it. I mean, you secretly meet. No, I'm joking.
Actually,
that's not true.
Yeah, it really is.
It is. It's really exciting. So don't want to miss that next meeting, because that's going to be really important and key. And if you are going to miss that next meeting, let's hear about it now or soon after tonight, so maybe
what's
we can...
What's the date of the next meeting?
20...
It's the third Wednesday.
Third Wednesday.
Yeah.
23rd,
right?
20th.
Yeah. The consultants will all be here. We'll probably have food, because it'll start early, because it's going to go a little longer than your normal meetings.
There's a lot to cover.
And be excited. It's a good thing. And then the other thing I wanted to advise you of that's going to be happening and get your feedback on is we have been actively doing code enforcement in the city. Right now, the county code enforcement person, Chris Tavoni, and I have been working closely and been doing a lot of basically solid waste type code enforcement, living in RVs. We opened up 44 cases since I've been here. We have closed all but 12.
Bravo.
It's amazing. Yeah, I'm really excited about that. The council's very excited about that. I will admit, most of it's up in Cable area. And if you drive through there, it looks great. I mean, even from just the month that we started, you know, really seeing, and now you drive it, it's looking really good. Still some more work to do around town, but that's where we're at. I want to, and I have Corey's buy off, and I want to see what you all think. Before elections gets in full swing, I want to, and since summer is coming, I want to start some light code enforcement on signage. We have seen all of a sudden a lot of signs cropping up that are illegal for our sign code, which is basically going to be talking to those with signs in the right of way. Some of the temporary signage, that kind of thing. That gets kind of, this is where I want you to, you know, again, I'm on the record, but I'm gonna say put your big boy pants on, because this is when you'll get hit up by the community saying, what is the city doing? Why am I getting, you know, this is my business, I'm gonna go under, this is what I have to do. So I just want you to be aware of that, because your friends will be hitting you up, probably community members. They'll also be calling the council, and they're aware too. So I do plan to go very tread lightly. We are going to pick, you know, a few of the worst offenders first, and kind of just introduce and say, hey, did you know? And try to be really nice and see what happens and what the response is. Signage is hard for people.
How is the enforcement managed?
What do you mean by that?
Well, who
process?
I manage it.
So it's, you know, and through written.
Well, again, we're this, even the solid waste and all the RV living and code enforcement we've been doing mostly has been me. I've taken two drives out, one with our public works guys, and did a list of addresses that I thought were in violation, or I saw an RV that definitely lived in. And then I gave those addresses to our enforcement guy from the county, Chris. He goes and then looks himself, and then he issues a, it's like a warning, I think. And then he also talks, and we take as long as we can. That's my policy, is we're taking as long as we can to get these resolved, which, if you notice, hasn't been taking very long. We still have those 12 out there, but he works with people. We're not out there just, oh, you're gonna go to jail, or we're gonna spend $200 a day, fine. We're working with people. Mm-hmm. Right now it's education. We have plenty of time and years to get really picky about this. When the new code's in place. No, just kidding. You know, I'm not out there to ding people, but I do want the city to look nice and clean up, and I do want people to be aware we do have a new code coming in. We do have a new design standards coming in. We have a new outlook on this town, and we want to see it improve, and they are going to have just as many customers. They just don't need to have their, you know, signs.
I think this planning commission stands behind that for sure.
Yeah, so what will happen with the signage is I'm meeting with Chris tomorrow, and we're gonna pick a few businesses. I'll be honest and get on the record so everybody can know, probably along 97, and we're going to hit probably 5 or 6 and just say, did you know, can you please, and see where it goes.
Yes.
And then he'll follow up and we'll work with people and then maybe get a little more detailed oriented and go into some others and probably a couple downtown, but that's where we'll start.
Okay. We have to start some.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, wonderful. Just knowing that what's coming out, I mean, we have flags in our business. Well, I can go to Diane and say,
oh,
by the way, did you just wanted you to be aware?
Did you know?
Down the pike, those are going to have to go.
And it's so. Going to hurt. I mean, and I expect this room to probably be full by then. People, the word will be out.
Yeah.
People will be angry. I'm used to it. It's a hard thing. When you're running a business and you're self-employed, it's a hard thing.
Right.
Because you are ingrained that your signage is everything. And
it's marketing.
It is. And to some degree, they're right. But it's the right kind of marketing and it's the right kind of perception. And if we can get more people into town and more people stop and walk, they're going to get more walking. They're going to get more business. They're going to get more eyes. It's an education process. So I want you to be aware. I'll probably take the brunt of it. Chris will probably take the brunt of it, but you will take it from your friends and your coworkers and your bosses.
Yeah.
And so if you can stand by what you're doing, you're good, and we'll all get along and we'll all get through it.
Yeah. Yeah, we've all got your cards.
Yeah, exactly. Just pass them out.
Just call
them. No
problem.
I know. Hopefully I'll last another couple of years and we'll be good. So. So that's where we're going to start. So tomorrow you'll see some slight enforcement. We'll see where it goes. I think Grocery Outlet right now, they have their A-frames chained to stop signs in the right way.
Right.
I think they'll be easy and they'll take them down.
Yeah.
It's just
once
somebody sees somebody else doing it, they kind of all just down the road. And I've noticed it even for the 4 or 5 months I've been here, I've noticed it just once somebody gets one thing and they start doing it, it just kind of...
Oh, let's do that.
Yeah.
So
we're going to do that, and that's going to ramp up, and hopefully by election time, with all the election signs, we'll kind of just start clearing some out the right way and get it going.
Okay,
super. And then next, does anybody have a preference on what they want to see? We won't do anything, I'm not going to really have anything on the agenda for next meeting, because that is our the downtown draft, and you're going to be overwhelmed with that.
Right.
So we're not gonna work on signage then, and that will give you a great idea of what kind of signage we're gonna want to see for our downtown design standard wise, because our design standards with that Cascadian style, you're gonna see that, and that we can implement into our sign code. So that'll give you another idea of where we're going, and then so we won't have anything on the agenda for our meeting for signage, but you will have the draft design code for downtown, and then the next meeting we'll pick up and we'll start working on.
However. When you go through the GGM, one of the things you think about, you know, I stopped off and talked with Melissa about this. Think about it as you're walking down there, think about the signs you want to see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and how is that appropriate for a walking or pedestrian area?
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and a good example of that, as I mentioned before, was Sun River. You know, up in there, and they have a bunch of areas where you're walking only or pedestrian
mm-hmm.
only.
Mm-hmm.
And what kind of signs did they put up? I don't think we want to go that far,
mm-hmm.
but that's a super controlled one.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to look at something similar too.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah, and we're looking
how
at
to keep
downtown
it
overlay.
Classy
yeah.
as opposed to.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Glad you, yeah, you say that word. So, yeah, think about that, and then think about how it relates to signage, you know, the vision. Because right now when you see Huntington, you don't think at all about, it's hard to understand what it could look like.
Right.
And we are looking at a redesign, by the way. I know we're trying to get out of here. Looking at a redesign of Huntington. I've got Corey on board, so we're starting to get some preliminary, just calling around asking how much design firms would be to look at and how much it would cost to design Huntington. We want to make it much more narrow, and by narrow I don't mean like take the right away down, but narrow as in the cars passing each other, narrow, you know, larger sidewalks, maybe some bulb outs. I mean, we want to start creating that downtown, that walkability. So we're going to start. So when you see our design, draft design code, it's hard to say, well, at Huntington, Walker, you know, just remember there's three, there's lots of pieces. Right now there's three, you know, we got Huntington, we're gonna do the downtown, you know, design standards and the sign code.
Morrison.
And then Morrison also, so, yeah, exciting stuff.
Yeah, okay, good.
At the same time, we still are doing 97.
We are doing 97, yeah.
Right, so.
And the transit center.
And the transit.
And our monument sign got approved, so that'll be done by July 4th, yeah.
You said the next meeting will be fairly long?
It will be long.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And the time, same time start?
If you are all available, we probably will start like at 4:00 or 4:30.
Okay.
I can't remember what she said, she's already blocked it out the time, the consultant, and I'll have to get, we'll get back to you when we get to your draft code and all that, but just plan on that if it's doable.
Okay.
Yeah, they're long meetings because you're going through this code and we're really getting your feedback, so.
25 pages worth of codes.
Yeah, it's not bad, actually, it's not.
Which actually isn't bad.
But it's just the downtown overlay, it's not any other code yet, so, yeah.
It's not the other code, which is 156.
Yeah, we'll see what it turns out to be, it'll probably be a little longer.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, anything else, Miss?
That's it, yeah.
Okay, any other comments from the board here?
No.
I'm good.
All right.
Any building stuff, anything going on?
If you would email me before I'd remember to bring, we don't have any new, I have not sent out any new permits.
Okay.
I need to remember, I keep writing myself notes and then nothing comes in, I forget, but if we get those, where I send those out, I will. We have two new site plan reviews for Groves that I think you've already gotten, because those already went out.
Right.
And nothing yet. We have some potential subdivision coming in, probably in a year, maybe less. Arbor's ramping up again. Crescent Creek should be ramping up again, but again, we haven't got anything back from them yet, or what they wanna do yet, so.
That one place out across from the electric company there. It looks like they are putting in regular framed houses out there.
Midstate.
Across from Midstate, but.
Across from Midstate.
The little narrow lots.
Yeah, that Cabin Creek.
Side street by the park.
Cabin Creek is pulled, building permits, yeah, he's on his second one, he just turned the second one in to me tonight, actually today.
But I mean, they're regular, you know, originally we thought they were gonna be manufactured.
No, they're single family, yeah, single family homes.
But they, looks like they're stick-built.
Stick-built.
They are stick-built, yeah, sorry, stick-built.
And originally, they came out maybe.
Yeah.
No, he's doing stick-built.
We thought they were going to be, they were thinking about maybe buying used manufactured homes, putting them up there.
You may have, you're gonna have something come before you from Arbor for Huntington.
Yeah.
I'm not sure the procedure yet, what they're, I know what they're wanting to do and I know what they're turning in, but it may not be the right way, but no matter what. So whatever it is, I'm not doing it administratively, I'm gonna bring it to you.
Huntington?
Yeah.
Not ours?
Yeah, I'm not making that call.
Because the other one was the Blue Collar Development, which is going on out there by the baseball field. They're doing a lot of development out there.
Yeah.
I think it's Blue Collar.
He's got Stone by Blue Collar, that, isn't that, he just did a.
It's right off of Apache or.
Is that the 40 acres that he just sub, he's partitioning?
That's another one.
Yeah, they're partitioning the 40 acres into three.
Right.
Just beyond Cabin Road, the other side Cabin, which goes into Trail of Tears.
What's he doing?
Oh, yeah.
And that's all that, they have Blue Collar and they have a lot of them coming through.
I don't know about that, do I know about that?
It's right out there by the baseball field.
They all seem to be out there for the baseball.
Yeah, it's all right in the same area and then the 40 acres development beyond that.
Yeah, that's the three parcels.
That's gonna be a big one.
Yeah, but that'll be a kind of a, that'll come before you too as a subdivision, it's master planned already. that's gonna be fairly straightforward because the roads are already in.
We wanna be real careful with that one, make sure it doesn't turn into another Huntington Meadows.
Yes.
Put the roads in the way they're supposed to be with sidewalks.
Yeah, let's not deliberate about that right now. Yeah, no, that will come before you, and then again, like I said, Arbor's got something, they'll be before you in a month or two.
Okay.
Something, I'm just not sure of the procedure or what we're doing.
Alrighty. Well, if there's nothing else, can we have a motion to adjourn?
I motion we adjourn.
I second it.
Okay, a motion is second, I'll say in favor of adjourning.
Aye.
Aye.
It is adjourned.
Thank you.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Supposed to use you.